Veterans Subdivision of the State Government Finance Committee will come to order. And have the clerk take the roll call. I don't know if we have a quorum yet, but we definitely have three bills up today to discuss, go over. Representative Creasel, Representative Erdahl, and Representative Anderson. And you probably have it in your packets, those bills. As soon as we get a quorum here to the committee, we'll have someone move the bills. Okay. All right. We'll probably have going to have to wait, but we can have at least Representative Creasel come forward to give a kind of a sketch of what his bill is going to be all about. And hopefully Representative Erdahl will be right behind him. So, Representative Creasel, welcome to the committee that you sit on. And if you would move your bill, we'd look forward to hearing from your testimony and where we are going. So,
we got
go ahead.
All right. I'd like to move that House file. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to move that House file 232 pass and be re-referred to the Transportation Policy and Finance Committee.
Thank you.
What House File 232 does, Mr. Chair, members, it expands the language and eligibility for the Gold Star license plate, which currently is limited to the surviving spouse and parents of a veteran who has died while serving honorably in active military service. And the reason that this was brought to the attention of my office is that it currently does not include people that are a legal guardian of someone that goes over and serves. Or current member that serves and passes away, or the siblings. And, it's my belief that, I'm personally affected. I know people that have lost their lives in the line of duty, and knowing those families and knowing that they just want to honor their service member that gave their life for this country, this is, I think, something that we owe them. So I would be happy to take any questions on this bill.
Okay, thank you, Representative Creasel. House File 232 members is before us. Are there any questions for the author? Mr. Creasel, Representative Creasel, do you have any people to testify on your behalf on the bill? Okay. Any questions for Representative Creasel on House File 232?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Detmer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Representative Creasel. Thank you for bringing this forward to the committee. And is it my understanding, Mr. Chair, or Representative Creasel, the sales of these, does it go into the troop fund then? Is that for these license plates?
Representative Creasel.
Mr. Chair, Representative Detmer, the current, or the way it would work is that fallen service member exempt, or it's the Gold Star license plate is issued to eligible survivors of a fallen service member, exempting the $10 charge typical of most other veterans plates. Nevertheless, any eligible survivor continues to be subject to the annual motor vehicle registration fee, but the money can be diverted from the supporter troops license plate account. And since there's such a small amount of actual people in the state that this affects, then it's a very minimal charge, and it would come out of that serving our troops.
Representative Detmer.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. And again, thank you for bringing this to the committee.
Any other questions for Representative Detmer? Representative Kahn.
Yes. Mr. Chairman, Representative, as I recall, we once had some really strong requirements as to surveys that had to be done and estimates that had to be done as to the cost before we did a special plate. Does this fall under that, or have we gotten rid of those, or what's the there was problems with both the State Patrol not liking all these variation of plates and just the actual cost that it did to make a special plate. Has that been taken care of? Are there new techniques that make it easier, or how does that fit in?
Representative Creasel.
Mr. Chair, Representative Kahn, this is a current plate. This plate has already been created and it's out there. This would only make eligible, okay. It would expand the eligibility. And so the expanding of plates really doesn't apply here. It's just allowing people that had that they're the legal guardian of a fallen service member and their siblings.
Well,
I'm sorry, that's 232.
Correct.
Not.
Yep.
Okay, have we done the others?
No.
No. Okay. Okay, thanks. I guess it was the...
Any further questions for Representative Creasel on House File 232? If not, Mr. Creasel renews his motion that House File 232 be passed and passed on to Transportation Policy and Finance.
I don't think we've been called to order. Have we? We didn't have a quorum.
Okay, Mr. Chair, look, we'll call the meeting to order then. Thank you, Representative Davis. Meeting is now in its order, and we are have the bill before us, House File 232, and we're going to vote on the bill and refer it to Transportation Policy and Finance. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed, same sign. Bill is passed. You're on your way.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, committee members.
Thank you. Members, we have minutes before us from the last Veterans Subdivision Committee.
So moved, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Davids moved the chair. Is there a second? All those in favor of the minutes as written, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, same sign. Minutes passed. Representative Erdahl, I see him in the committee, I believe. I think he was here. Okay. Well, then.
Sure, maybe he's all getting a cheeseburger.
Well, thank you. I guess then we'll move on, and we'll have my House File 50 be presented, and I'll have our assistant chair, Representative Creasel, take over as the chair.
Representative Anderson, would you like to move your bill?
I would. Thank you, Mr. Chair. House File 50 is before you. I'd like to move House File 50 to pass and to be referred to the Transportation and Finance Policy Committee. And members, as you have the bill before you, I also have a delete all 4, DE4 amendment that is going to be added on, and I would like to move that at this time also. So I would like to amend my bill by Amendment DE4.
All right, whenever you're ready, Representative Anderson.
If I could have the chairman move the DE4 for the approval by the committee.
I move that the DE4 amendment pass.
Can you move it?
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, same sign. Amendment carries.
Thank you, members. Thank you, Mr. Chair. This bill, House File 50, creates a new license plate for women veterans. The bill recognizes those who have served honorably in any branch or unit of the United States Armed Forces at any time, any place. And with other veteran plates authorized under current law, the veteran would be charged a $10 fee upon application for the women's veteran plate, in addition to being charged the regular annual registration fee for the vehicle. In addition, there would be a $5 surcharge for each set of women veteran plates for a grant to the Minnesota Women Veterans Initiative Working Group for use in promoting public awareness of women soldiers and veterans. The plate issuance would be for the veteran's lifetime, and for an additional fee of $5 would be transferable to another motor vehicle owned or co-owned by the veteran if desired. I have with me members, individuals who would like to testify on behalf of the bill, and so I'd like to turn it over to them if it's okay with the committee.
If you could state your name for the committee.
I am Trista Mattis Castillo. I am a woman veteran and the chair of the Women Veterans Initiative Working Group. I appreciate your time and I'm happy to be here to move forward this bill that would create recognition for women veterans. Women veterans have been serving in the military for a very long time. We have 23,000 women veterans in the state of Minnesota. And within our working group, we've been working to identify gaps in services and barriers to women veterans. One of the biggest barriers has been recognition of their service. Many women veterans will say that they won't buy the current plate, or when they do have the current plate, they get thanked for their husband's service, which, though many of us are also married to veterans, myself included, sometimes it would be nice to be thanked for my service as well. And so this would be one way to increase the elevation and the awareness of women veterans and women serving, and to bring us up on that level playing field so that the women that sacrifice day in and day out for their military service can also be recognized.
Thank you. If you could state your name for the committee.
Mr. Committee members, I am Sergeant First Class Gail Kaplan. I am part of the 247 Finance Detachment that is located out of Roseville, Minnesota. I have honorably served and still serving, as you can see. This plate is very important to me because I think that the stigma. It's amazing because the uniform is not that flattering for us as females as it is. And as I go into patronized businesses, it's very common for them to refer to me as sir. Or I have been acknowledged when I've been on the phone as sir. So I deal with it on a regular basis already. And so for me, currently, I have the World War II with the United States American flag on mine, even though I have served in OIF. I've opted to that because I wanted the funding to go to something that was good, which was the memorial. Okay, so that was for me personally why I did what I did. Now I'm excited to have the opportunity to display that I am a very proud woman veteran. And because I have encountered individuals, oh, what did your husband do? And I smile and I try to educate them. It's actually I who have served. And so I hope that you take a look at this bill and push it forward, because it is very important to not only me, but to all my fellow women veterans out there. And there are male veterans who support this as well, because they know that we are very capable in what we have done. So I appreciate your time, Mr. Chair and committee, and thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And members, you in your packets, you have some possible renditions of a women veterans plate, and I think that even one of our testifiers brought forward a rendition of what she would like to see. And what we're going to be doing as we go forward with this to the Transportation Policy Finance Committee, asking for their comments back, and also asking for public safety to give us an idea, and have the Women's Working Group work through this with public safety and Department of Transportation to come up with the emblem or whatever it is that would work and meet public safety regulations and guidelines. So that's the concern is from public safety, is that we don't cloud the ability of a state trooper or law enforcement officer to be able to read the plate and understand that this plate is what it stands for. And so we don't want to add too much to this, and that's kind of the pushback I get from the department in regards to these plates. But we'll take questions if you have any questions about the language in front of you. Oh, I'm sorry. We have one more testifier. Mr. Chair?
Mr. Chair, my name is Melissa Passeretti. I've served two tours in Iraq. I'm here as the voice of several female veterans that have the support the troops tags on their vehicle. I myself have been asked about my husband's service for my plates. I want to make a bumper sticker that I can put next to my OIF plates that say woman vet. It is very important to me that this pass. I've also talked to many male soldiers on whether they think this is a silly idea or not, and they're supportive. They are very, very supportive because they understand that if we go out together and somebody's talking about Iraq or being vets, the men are the ones that are, offered to let me buy you a drink and it's the brothers that stand up and go, this is my sister, she was there too. So I just wanted to reiterate that this is important for us. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other testifiers from the audience? If you could approach the podium, state your name for the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, for this opportunity. My name is Shante Wolf. I served 12 years active duty, including the Persian Gulf War. Women of my generation were not recognized more specifically than the women today are. The same thing, I've had men of the older generation, Vietnam or older, make fun even of my service because there were so many women that were involved in the Gulf War. I too have been asked to thank my service for my husband. I am not married. So I just feel that it's really very important to honor the women who do the work, who step up to the plate, and have served their country. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We'll take questions. Is there anybody else from anybody? Okay. The department.
Thank you for coming. If you could state your name for the committee, please.
Mr. Chair, I'm Reggie Worrells, Deputy Commissioner for Programs and Services, Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. To dovetail off of what you've heard from our testifiers already, we in the department also think it is very, very important for our women veterans to be recognized for their service. Again, there are many who see them out in public and speak to their husband's service, but we are finding out now, and statistics prove it, you know, 13% to 18% of our current military force are women. This will also provide us with an opportunity to provide additional outreach to this population by being able to find out how many people have come forward to get the plate that will put the position, the department, in a good position to reach out to these folks and ensure that they're receiving the entitlements that they receive. There's a minimal fiscal note here. The department has no opposition and supports it in full.
We have somebody else coming forward.
Okay. Good to see you. If you could state your name for the committee, please.
Thank you much, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I'm Colonel Eric Alnis. I'm the Director of Government Relations for the Minnesota National Guard. As we discussed this with the Adjutant General, he was adamant about how important it is that we fully recognize all the veterans. And the Minnesota National Guard is the largest creator of veterans in the state. And he wanted to make sure that the committee understood that he wanted to make sure the female veterans that we're producing each and every day are recognized in a way that they feel is appropriate. And he feels this is one of those ways that we can appropriately recognize the service of our female veterans. Thank you very much, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Thank you all for your service as well. Representative Kahn has a question. Who was your question for? Was it for the author?
I think it's for the committee.
Okay.
Since this language is before us, since the looking at the language in the law before us, since I believe I just read that the last World War One vet just died, maybe it would be appropriate to take out all the language referring to World War One vets and make... with the language that starts on 2.30, fix that so it just refers to World War II vets.
Representative Anderson, do you have anything to say about that?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Representative Kahn, I did hear that this morning, that the last World War I veteran...
we both had time to read the newspaper.
110 years old, I believe he was at that. I guess I would defer to counsel and see what. I don't have any problem with that, unless there's some concern from counsel.
Mr. Chairman and Representative Kahn, it's a policy choice, and I mean I could see leaving it there for honorary recognition, but it has no practical effect at all. So,
well, this is language dealing with license plates, and you know, it seems to me we probably could have taken it away some time ago. I guess I imagine this guy wasn't driving. but you know, it seems to me when we talk about cleaning up the language in bills and keeping the statutes more concise, this is a very little way we could go about that.
Representative Davids.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Maybe to Mr. Cleary, does the World War I and World War II vets pass on to spouses and siblings and children and so forth?
Mr. Chairman and Representative Davids, no, they don't.
Representative Detmer.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. So back onto that question, what we're saying, what the question was that Representative Davids said that can a spouse or a children have that plate on their car in memory of their parent? Was that the question?
That was the question, and Representative Detmer, no, it doesn't pass on to children or spouse. The one that does pass on is the
Gold Star.
Say again, please.
Well, I'm sorry.
Gold Star casts a broader net, and why am I brain dead at the moment? I can't think of it. Okay. There may be one that does pass on, but it's not a war plate.
Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, it's the will of the committee. If Representative Kahn would like to make a motion to amend the bill as amended to reflect the deletion of that language.
Representative Kahn.
It seemed to me that you need to combine one and two somehow. I would ask Mr. Cleary to give us the appropriate amendment. And also in C to take out World War One.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, Representative Kahn, if you'd like to follow along here, we can probably devise this as we go. On line 2.30, I believe we would strike World War One or, so it would read, for a veteran who served during World War II. Plates must bear the inscription World War Vet. On line 2.31, I believe we could just insert after war, two, Roman numeral two. We could delete lines 2.32 to 2.34. And lines 3.1 to 3.3. We could strike those lines. I believe it's that simple.
Representative Connor, are you making a motion to amend the bill?
Yeah, so we would then have the, that would keep the World War II. We haven't done anything for that.
That would keep the World War II. So the entire reference to World War would be on lines 230 and 2.31, and it would read, C, for a veteran who served during World War II, the plates must bear the inscription, World War II Vet. Oh, and we would also delete the and the colon, and insert a period.
Okay. My next question, I guess I will make that motion. I think that's okay. But my next question, and maybe we should have it, is how many World War II vets are still driving? How many World War II vet license plates do we still have?
Mr. Cleary?
Mr. Chair and Representative Kahn, I'm sure there are some.
Okay.
Mr. Chair.
That's just a question.
Representative Anderson?
To that question, my dad's a World War II vet. He's still driving, so is my mother. And I know his whole clutch of coffee drinkers are still World War II vets,
super.
And so and they're still driving. So there's a bunch out there, even though it seems like we're losing them.
My father was kind of an elderly World War II vet.
Okay.
He's been dead for quite a while, I guess.
All right, Representative Kahn, you're making the motion, then, I understand, to amend the bill? All right. All those in favor of the amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, same sign.
No.
The amendment passes. Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I was just briefed by the Department of Public Safety liaison saying that there is 1,912 World War II vet plates on the road in Minnesota. So just as a point of information. So,
okay, thank you.
Okay. Any other? Oh, excuse me, I'm not in charge.
No. Yes, you are.
I'm just pretending to be in charge right now. Any other discussion to the bill? Representative Coonan?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Representative Anderson, I like this bill, and thanks for bringing it forward. And also to all the people who testified, thank you for coming. On that question of the number of plates, we were talking about World War II. I walked in a couple minutes late, so maybe you've already covered this, but do you have any idea how many of these plates there may be demand for?
Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Coonan, well, I can't say her last name, but one of the testifiers said there's about almost 24,000 women veterans here in the state of Minnesota, and with more people coming back from overseas, Afghanistan, Iraq, so forth and so on, we're sending a bunch of people from my former air wing to Afghanistan and Iraq, and just in the next 3-4 months. So there are going to be a lot of people who would be available to purchase this. Whether they do that or not, it's a choice thing, but we know right now there's at least as many as 24,000 women veterans who could make that choice once it was available to them.
Representative Coonan.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Anderson, thank you for that, and I suspect, too, that a great number of those women veterans will order these plates, but I was just kind of wondering where the numbers were on that. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Any other questions to the bill or discussion? Representative Anderson, would you like to renew your motion to pass and be re-referred to the Transportation Policy and Finance Committee?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I'd like to move House File 50 as the DE4 amendment was approved and as it was amended by Representative Carnes' bill to pass and be referred to the Committee on Transportation and Policy, Finance and Policy.
All right. All of those in favor of the bill, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed, same sign. Bill passes. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Good job. Yeah, you did good. You did good. You did good. We strike that.
Thank you, members. If we could have Representative Erdahl come forward to present his bill, House File 186. Welcome to the committee, Representative Erdahl. How are the cheeseburgers doing out there?
I just was watching someone eat one, but I refrained.
Thank you. If you would present your bill and move it for, if Mr. O'Driscoll, could you move Representative Erdahl's bill for him?
Mr. Chair, I move House File 186 to be heard by the Veterans Committee this afternoon.
Representative Erdahl.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Could I get the DE1 amendment moved as well?
Okay.
Mr. Chair, I'll move the HO186 DE1 amendment, and Representative Erdahl, after this committee, or Mr. Chair, this is going to be referred to
It'll be Transportation and Policy.
To Transportation and Policy Committee, excuse me.
Representative Erdahl, House File 186 as amended. Oh, members, we should vote on DE1. The House File 186 DE1 is before us. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, same side. Go ahead, Mr. Representative Erdahl.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. This was brought to me by a constituent, this issue, and though I hesitate to say this, this is a simple bill. It allows the spouses of active duty personnel more time to renew their Minnesota driver's licenses if they're out of the state. Currently, renewal must happen within 90 days of discharge. This allows for a year. The specific example that I'll give here is that after discharge, my constituent's husband was asked to continue working as a civilian on the base for a period longer than 90 days. Upon returning to Minnesota, the spouse found that her license had expired and that she'd have to be retested to get it back. This change to 1 year will allow for this and other contingencies that might arise following a military discharge regarding license renewals.
Lieutenant Erdl, do you have any testifiers on behalf of your bill?
Only by popular demand.
Okay.
I did not line up anyone.
Okay. Representative Davids.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Erdl, how would it work if they hadn't renewed their license, let's say, if your bill was law 7 months into it and they needed to do something in another state where they needed a valid driver's license? What would happen in that case?
Representative Erdl.
Well, they could. They could get one in another state as well. But what this is, it's someone who for, let's say that you renewed your license 2 years before and then had to renew it, it would be, you get the 4 years no matter what.
Well, Mr. Chairman,
Representative Davids.
Representative Erdl, I guess the question was if you're, let's say you're past the 3 months, you're past the 90 days, you're 7 months into it, and they need to do something in another state where they need a valid driver's license, and I'm not asking if they can get one in that other state. I'm saying what happens when they have an invalid Minnesota driver's license.
Representative Erdl.
We
have a testifier. Please identify yourself for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members of the committee, Colonel Eric Allness, Director of Government Relations for the Department of Military Affairs. What we would do in the case where an individual was continued to be deployed or out of the state, not able to get back, but they needed the information, would use our staff, judge advocates, and military lawyers to refer back to state statute and show to that civilian that the license, although it shows that it was expired, that it was in essence still in effect. So we'd have to bring the lawyers into it to help make sure that showed that everything was current and that the person was acting in a proper manner and they weren't expired.
Thank you, Colonel Allness. We have a testifier from the Department of Public Safety. A familiar face. Welcome. Please identify yourself for the tape.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, Pat McCormick, the Director of Driver and Vehicle Services. The driving record of that individual would be updated even if the license on the card stays on there as it is. The driving record would be updated so that when they check the driving record, I don't think they'd even have to bring anyone else in. They would just be able to, all states verify through the other states. There's a system where we go in and we're able to send a request to that state to verify the actual, and we're required to check the status if they're coming in from another state. And so that driving record would be updated based on the fact that they were allowed to have that extra year or whatever. So it shouldn't be a problem. This bill that with the amendment puts it into the practice that we currently are able to use in terms of putting this change into place with other motor vehicle agencies, so it shouldn't be an issue.
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions for the testifier? Any other further questions for Representative Erdl? Anybody from the audience that would like to
I was going to see if there isn't anyone. I'll just go ahead and renew my motion.
I'm just going to see if there's anybody else from the audience that would like to testify on behalf of his bill. If not, Representative Driscoll, would you renew the motion for?
I renew my motion to send House File 186 as amended to the Transportation Committee.
House File 186, as amended, is up for to pass and to be sent to the Transportation, Finance, and Policy Committee. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, same sign. Motion's passed. You're on your way, Representative Erdl.
Thank you very much.
And members, we will probably be giving you a heads up on what's going to be happening for committee the next whether we meet next Monday or not, we'll have to wait and see what bills are before us. But keep tuned to your emails and to your LAs. So
If anybody else has questions or comments for the good of the whole, if not, the meeting is adjourned.